All right. Hi again, everybody, and welcome back aboard our local hour here on the aforementioned KSBT Sandpoint, KBFI Bonner's Ferry. Of course, you can listen to any of our fine AM programming at NorthIdahoRadio.com. Online from wherever you are. It's Thursday. I'm Bob Witte, and it's time for North Idaho Thursday. If you were tuned into the local hour yesterday, you caught our first edition of our Halloween radio play. Ricky and a group of fellow local actors performed the radio short play, Halloween theme. I found it kind of entertaining and just something different and old school radio-ish. So today, in the honor of Halloween week, there's two more short Halloween radio plays for you. So we look forward to that. We have Ben Olson, Kate McAllister, Ricky Witte, Zach Hagedon, and an announcer as well in there on putting together these radio plays for you, and we'll see how it goes. Today that'll be coming up in just a little bit. What else is going on? Oh, there's some Halloween type parties coming up. Of course, I'll tell you about those here in a moment. If it's like the weirdest Halloween of all time, and I mean, some people welcoming trick or treaters, others like, I just don't want people at my door. I don't know. I just, everybody's gonna do what they comfortably feel like doing in this oddest of all years. But if you feel like, well, I just don't want to do Halloween at all, I want to hear some live music. There's some great live music this Saturday night, 7 o'clock at the Panada Theater. Brittany Jean lives in Brewster, Washington, that has traveled around the country performing her singer-songwriter type songs, some originals, some covers. She's great, by the way. I've been listening to her the last few weeks. We'll be performing live on the Panada stage, and you can go to panada.org to learn more about that show. Again, it's this Saturday. You can buy tickets online. Or what I'd really suggest is go to BrittanyJeanMusic.com and check her out yourself and see if it's something you're interested in doing. I highly encourage it as a great alternative to the traditional Halloween. So check that out. The Panada, by the way, is safely distancing. They're only allowing 50% capacity and blocking off every other row. So it's safe there. So that's happening Saturday. Also, Saturday, Halloween night, is there's a safe Halloween experience happening at Lakeview Park in conjunction with the Lakeview Park community, Bonner County Historical Society Museum, the Kinnickinnick Native Plant Society, Sandpoint Lions Club. And they are putting together the Haunted Woods, a trick-or-treating, a photo booth. There's cider and popcorn, refreshments sponsored by Lighthouse. For your safety, entry will be paced and volunteers will wear masks and gloves. Also coming up this weekend at the Bonner County Fairgrounds is they're having a Halloween party. It's free for kids. If parents, you don't want your kids, you know, going the door-to-door trick-or-treating thing, this is another great alternative, something you can do at the fairgrounds. There's a Halloween-themed movie. There's going to be a costume contest, candy, games, treats, and more. You can go to the Bonner County Fairgrounds Facebook page and learn more about that. Before we get to Halloween, a big football game right here on KSBT and Rock 103 this Friday evening. Hillcrest comes up from the Idaho Falls area. Playoff football at Memorial Field, our new turf, our new stadium, playoff game there, and you know the turf's going to be in great shape as opposed to what would traditionally happen this time of year with mud and such. So really looking forward to that. 6:40 for the pregame with Chris and Jay, and a 7 o'clock for the kickoff. Now, if you're interested in seeing it in person, things are a lot different these days. If you haven't been to a Bulldog game, working with the city of Sandpoint and Panhandle Health, the high school is selling 425 tickets for the home side of Memorial Field for the game Friday night. The visiting school, the folks coming up from Hillcrest, will get 100 tickets to be on their side of the field. And they're asking all Sandpoint High School patrons to enter through the main gate. And the tickets will go on sale this afternoon at 1:15 at Sandpoint High School. And ticket sales today will be offered just for families of the participants only. So if you're just a member of the general public, you'll have to wait till tomorrow. If there are tickets left, then they will go on sale tomorrow. So be listening here on the radio for info on that tomorrow morning and find out if there's going to be any tickets left. But again, they go on sale 1:15 Thursday afternoon at Sandpoint High School for families of the participants. Or even better yet, just stay home in your cozy by the fire and listen to Chris and Jay. 6:40 for the pregame and 7 o'clock for the kickoff. Well, again, yesterday we kicked off our very first radio play that we've done here on KSPT probably since the 1950s. And we have two more of them coming up here in right after this break, starring Ricky Witte and a whole host of friends. So two Halloween-themed plays for you. And we'll get back to our regular Wednesday and Thursday programming next week. But stay tuned for now, or take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Chamber of Commerce brings you The Dweller in the Darkness, a play of the unknown. The scene is set in the card room of a country house, rented, furnished, where the family have gathered for a quiet game of bridge after dinner. Is it my call?
You dealt, so I suppose we can't very well prevent you. What the dickens?
The lights again. Oh, Mother, why did we take this house?
Because you and your father went mad over the view and never gave a moment's thought to the arrangements inside.
Well, but fancy anyone being so half-witted as to have penny in the slot meters for the electric light. In a huge place like this, one really couldn't be expected to foresee that.
I expect the fellow that did it had got tired of selling out his investments to pay the quarterly electric light bill.
Well, I hope when he was reading, he enjoyed the light suddenly vanishing in the middle of a sentence.
Giving the additional charm of obscurity to the literature of his choice.
Oh, shut up, Henry.
Phyllis, it's no good turning round on Henry. And Mr. Mortimer, you'd better go and put a penny in the slot. And let us get on with the game. The servants are evidently doing nothing.
Don't suppose they know where the wretched things are yet. There's one on each floor. Give me a penny, someone.
Here you are.
Have one of mine as well. Make sure of enough light to finish the rubber.
You keep any little mental efforts you're capable of for following suit and returning my leads, Henry. You'll save your penny then, and a good bit more besides.
She won't be a minute. I'm sorry for the interruption.
That doesn't matter a bit.
After all, one mustn't look a gift house in the meter.
I thought you took it furnished.
Yes, but the rent's so low that it's almost a gift. The owner's a friend of my husband's.
Don't, Mortimer.
Don't what, old boy?
You touched my cards, didn't you?
No.
Sorry. I thought you did. What a rum thing darkness is. Ah, the light. That's better.
One gets fanciful in the dark. I almost thought... Well, never mind.
There we are. Now, Henry, we're after their money, remember? It's your call, Mother.
No bid. I've not held a card this evening.
Nothing like telling your partner all about your hand. One diamond.
Oh, why one plays this game, I can't think.
Two, no trumps.
There she is again. It's the rubber game, partner. No.
All right. Three, no trumps.
Oh, I say, really. Why not put them on the table and be done with it? No, I can't do anything.
I'll put them on the table if you like. There, put yours down too, Henry. I'll play it from the table.
They get a grand slam. They can't help it. Look, every picture card in the pack.
Surely I make my ace of spades.
You might if you had it, Mother dear.
What do you mean, if I had it? Of course I've got... Well, that's very strange.
It would be very much stranger if you had it, Mummy darling, seeing that Henry's just put it down with his hand.
Where?
Here you are, Mum. Spot the lady. Or should I rather say, in these circumstances, observe the ace piece.
Look, Mummy.
It's all very well for you children to get above yourselves, but I distinctly saw the ace of spades in my hand just before the light went out.
Really?
I expect there's a boogie behind your chair, Mother.
Phyllis, have you and Henry been up to some mischievous prank?
No, really, Mrs. Viner.
Henry, just count your cards, will you?
Of course. 1, 2, 3...
4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9...
You've got 14, old boy.
Rot.
10, 11, 12, 13, 14.
By George, I have, though.
Mummy, you dealt. Didn't you notice whether the cards ended wrong?
Yes, they didn't. They came round to me. Henry, did you take one of my cards for a lark when the lights were out?
No, Mrs. Viner. Of course. No, Mrs. Viner. Of course I didn't.
Because, as a matter of fact, I felt a little tiny tug, but I thought it was imagination.
So it was. Miss Steele, whose turn is it?
Do you mind if we don't play anymore?
Not a bit. Only it leaves the rubber unfinished.
It doesn't matter.
Why? What's up, Henry?
Well, since you've been talking about tugs, I thought I felt someone leaning over me when it was dark. Honestly. And then I thought Mortimer touched my cards. I don't remember the ace in my hand when I first sorted it.
Spooks. Henry, what? That's better fun than bridge.
Thanks so much. We live here, remember?
But, my dear Miss Viner, you don't believe rot like that, do you?
Well, I don't know. What's that? Oh, Father, come in. You gave me such a fright.
Nonsense, Phyllis. How could your father give anyone a fright?
I've certainly never succeeded in doing so to you, my dear. Urquhart is here. Come in, Urquhart. Well, finished your game?
We haven't finished, as a matter of fact. We've given up playing.
Tired?
No, Henry felt spooky.
Felt spooky? That's curious, Urquhart, isn't it?
Very.
Why is it curious?
Because of the ghost.
Ghost, Father? What ghost? Is this house haunted?
Only by rats, I should think. But there's a legend about this room.
This room?
This very room. It's only a legend, you know. The man who lived here in the days of the Regency is the ghost. He was caught cheating at cards. There was a dreadful scandal.
And when his friends had gone one by one, cast him off and stalked out of the room, he shot himself in the agony of remorse, and now returns punctually every Friday night to maunder over the scene of his tragedy and expiate his offense. I know. The usual story. The house agents make 'em up in hundreds.
Oh, dear, no. It's nothing so simple as that. He was a very alarming customer. Immensely powerful. Over 6 feet high, with a curious, round-shouldered, stooping walk, almost like a hunchback. If you can imagine such a thing on a 6-foot man. He had a very wicked reputation in the neighborhood. He used to go about armed with some horrible thing like a knuckle-duster. He'd hit out with it on the slightest provocation.
What's that to do with cheating at cards?
I'm coming to that. He had uncanny luck at gambling, and used to give parties regularly. Here, in this room, I dare say at that very table. It looks old enough.
Thanks awfully.
Well, it's nothing to worry about now, Phyllis. One night a comparative stranger was playing, someone who didn't perhaps realize his host's reputation, and was unwise enough to query the fairness of the play. The horse took one leap at him and hit him in the face with the knuckle duster. You can imagine the effect. It plowed up the man's features as though they'd been peeled off, wiped out, obliterated. It killed him.
And then he killed himself?
No, he fell down dead. Apoplectic seizure.
How do you know all this about a furnished house?
There's a book about it in the library. Picture the man, too.
I bet he was all faked up and put there by the house agents to catch romantic tenants who enjoy living with legends of that kind. What? Fella dies in a drunken brawl and then spends the following century hovering about in a drafty card room?
Sorry you feel the draft, Mr. Mortimer.
Oh, I beg your pardon. That was only thrown in as a figurative speech. But really, one can't swallow that. I mean, a century is such a long time, isn't it? What do you think, Professor Urquhart? You're a scientist.
I'm only a scientist because I refuse to form opinions without facts to go upon. I don't think anything, Mr. Mortimer. Still, it was funny tonight. Changing the cards, I mean.
I tell you, it was a misdeal, wasn't it, Professor?
I should always accept a natural explanation in preference to the supernatural.
Well, I've told you what I felt.
Oh, you felt something then?
I thought so, yes. I thought someone leaned over and touched my cards when the lights went out.
Lights? When did the lights go out?
Oh, only on this floor, Daddy. The wretched slot meter again.
Well, that's what I thought, anyhow.
Most interesting. We could test it if you like. Fairly simply.
Test it?
Not, of course, whether you felt a ghost or not, but whether what psychics call the operating entities are present in this room. The forces that cause manifestations.
Forces? What forces?
Ah, I wish I knew. Some people think a sort of undetermined animal magnetism. Some think actually discarnate human beings.
Discarnate human beings? Ghosts, in fact?
Well, I suppose they might be called ghosts, but very harmless and practical-minded ghosts that juggle with tea tables and ring bells and in some circumstances talk through trumpets.
Instead of talking through their hats, like a great many people who believe in them.
Quite true.
You don't sound a very convinced believer in these forces, Mr. Urquhart.
Believer is too strong a word. I think there's a case for investigation.
Then let's investigate.
By all means. If Mrs. Vina has no objection.
None at all. It thrills me.
But how? What are we to do?
It's perfectly simple, provided one of you has mediumistic power.
But how can we tell that?
Most people have a certain latent potentiality. We shall know by our results whether we've a real medium among us.
Or a real humbug.
No, Mr. Mortimer, you are not to spoil it.
All right. Let's try.
Bring up the chairs around the table. Mr. Mortimer, go between the two ladies, will you? They mustn't sit side by side.
I thought this was a seance, not a tea party. All right, I'll do it.
We must relax our minds. No tension. Just empty them as much as possible.
That, fortunately, won't take much effort in Henry's case.
Shh. Don't be flippant. Mr. Mortimer may be as unconvinced as he likes, but we must none of us be flippant.
I am the soul of gravity.
Hands on the table. Little fingers touching. Switch off the light, someone.
Thought so. Only in the dark.
Well, but after all, there's the main reason why we know so little. The forces can't work in daylight. It deadens them.
Or exposes them.
Perhaps. Though the spectrum contains many equally curious qualities. And it's a strange thing that from time immemorial there should have been a tradition of the powers of darkness. Is everyone allowing his mind to be a complete peace? There is mediumistic power.
How do you know?
Because of the chill on our fingers, like a cold wind. Can't you feel it?
Yes, I can.
I mustn't talk about the draft again, I suppose. But there is a gale blowing under that door enough to freeze a man to...
Quiet, Mr. Mortimer. Give it a chance.
I'm sorry.
No!
What is it?
There's a cobweb on my face. It won't go away.
No. Leave it alone. That's one of the regular symptoms. Yes, the influence is growing. One of us is a powerful medium.
Mother? Mother?
She's asleep, I think.
Then don't disturb her, whatever you do. She must be the medium.
It's all right, I suppose. Urquhart. Urquhart. Perfectly.
Don't be an ass, Henry.
What do you mean?
You tilted the table. Don't.
I didn't tilt the table. I will, though. That's curious.
What's curious, Henry?
I can't move it. Look, I'm trying as hard as I can.
How can I look in the dark?
Yes, but please, both of you, don't interfere with the seance. We may get something really out of the way.
What makes it rock like this?
Unless someone is cheating, psychic force.
Unless...
That's what I said.
It's a remarkable thing that these little things never happen, except when there's a loophole to fraud.
Let's try to reduce the possibility of fraud, then. We'll go a step further. I'll take your hands off the table and join hands in a ring. Have you done that?
Yes.
Yes.
Is anyone there?
Henry, don't play the ass.
I'm not, you fool.
Hush, you fools. If there is a message, will you rap again?
Sorry, you've been terribled. Sign, please.
Really? Mr. Mortimer, you are most unwise. It irritates them.
Them?
The unseen. The dwellers in the dark.
Why do you assume the plural?
Them or him, if there is only one. Usually there are more than one, but Mr. Mortimer makes it very difficult.
I'm sorry. Go on, please.
There's very little use in going on. They won't say anything now. Wait. Though, perhaps we'll get something. Does that mean a message? How are we to read it? The alphabet? Very well. From whom is the message? H. A. R, I believe. D. Hard. Does that mean difficult? Oh, well, go on. E. N. Harden. Is that a name? It is. Go on, then. B. I believe that there was a Y. Harden by...
No, it's not that.
Hush. Wait. Is it Hardenby? What Hardenby? J. That's O. H. N. John. John Hardenby. Is that it?
John Hardenby. But that's the name of the man who cheated at cards.
Yes, but Urquhart knew that. And so did you. And I dare say Henry and Phyllis, too. It's in the book in the library.
Mortimer, old boy, you oughtn't to suggest that we're spoofing. I'm not, and I'm quite sure the others aren't.
Well, then, let's just say that the habit of cheating appears to cling to Mr. Hardenby.
You really shouldn't say a thing like that. These manifestations are believed to materialize through the medium in the form of physical substance. There are ungovernable forces unloosed. I do beg you not to provoke the unseen.
What absolute rot! I notice the manifestations take jolly good care only to show themselves under a pair of stout boots.
Oh!
That's not under anyone's boots.
That is the wind blowing down a picture.
Well, let's call it the wind, but do please refrain from calculated offense.
Please, Mr. Mortimer, don't be foolhardy.
To please you, Miss Viner, anything. Carry on, Professor Urquhart.
I'm not so sure that we haven't driven them, or him, away. Noise distracts them so. We can only wait quite still for a few minutes until there is a manifestation.
Manifestation? Do you mean until something shows itself?
I don't necessarily mean a materialization. That happens only very rarely, when the dwellers in the darkness have something overmastering to achieve. There have been apparitions, of course, but we mustn't expect one tonight. After all the interruptions, unless...
Well, unless what?
Unless they, or he, had some special purpose to serve.
Such, for example, as...
Such, for example, as taking away doubt, Mr. Mortimer.
Or punishing folly.
Who said that?
Mrs. Viner.
Are you awake, Mother? Mother, is she still asleep?
Apparently so.
Then how can she speak? It doesn't sound like her voice either.
It didn't sound like anyone else's, and so by elimination...
Quiet, Mortimer. You promised.
But it was her voice, Mr. Urquhart.
The sounds were made by her vocal cords, but whether she was using them...
Oh, you mean...
Look here. I don't know what you others think, but I believe there's something in the room.
Don't, Henry. That frightens me.
Whatever you do, control your fear. You must never let the unseen catch you afraid.
There is something. Over there, by the window. Behind. Look!
It's the sofa, of course.
It's not the sofa. It's some horrible, rounded thing. It's like a hunchback. It's blocking up all the lower part of the window. I'm frightened.
Miss Vina, you mustn't. You really mustn't. You put yourself in their power if you show fear.
But I can't help it. I'm afraid. It's moving. It's coming this way. It's coming at me.
Someone turn the lights up, quickly. The light is infallible in restoring control.
Go on, Henry. Turn it up.
I can't. The switch won't work.
Won't work? I'll come.
Mr. Urquhart, there's something standing just beside me. Oh, oh God, I've touched it.
Here, let me do that light. Don't play the ass anymore, Henry. Get out of the way.
I'm not in the way.
Then get out of the way, you, whoever you are. You in front of me. Get out of the way. Get out of the way. I'll lay you out if you play the fool. All right, it's your own doing. Take it then.
What's the matter? What's happening?
Mortimer, are you all right? Can someone strike a match? Who's that laughing?
I'll have this in a minute. Henry, there are matches in my coat.
Won't strike. There's a light in the landing, isn't there? I'll open the door. Now you can see a bit. What's that crouching over Mortimer?
Don't be hysterical, man. There's nothing there.
Got it.
Thank God for the light at last.
I've been asleep. What's the matter with everyone? What is it?
My God! Look at Mortimer!
Turn him over, quick!
He hasn't got a face! He hasn't got a face!
Greater Sandpoint Chamber of Commerce presents The Strange Dr. Weird.
Good evening. Come in, won't you? Why, what's the matter? You seem a bit nervous. Perhaps the cemetery outside this house has upset you, but there are things far worse than cemeteries. For instance, a woman with murder in her heart, as in my story tonight. A story I call The Voice of Death. My story, The Voice of Death, begins in the snow-covered wilderness of Canada. In a high, narrow canyon, a man and woman on skis sit resting on the trunk of a fallen tree, catching their breath.
Blanche, I can't tell you how sorry I am that Uncle John didn't leave anything for you in his will.
Oh, there's nothing to worry about, Gerald. After all, I was only your Uncle John's second cousin.
I wish Jane and Dan had taken it as well. They certainly were downcast after reading the will this morning.
Well, naturally. They were your uncle's niece and nephew, too, and had hoped to share the estate with you. You can't blame them for being disappointed.
No, I suppose not.
We'd better be starting back to the lodge. I can see you're a bit uneasy about being in this canyon.
Well, isn't it a bit dangerous being here? Look at how the snow is piled up above us on each side of this canyon. If there was a snow slide, we'd be buried alive.
It isn't that dangerous. Of course, a loud noise or something, someone shouting, might start a slide. Come on along.
There is some sort of scientific explanation for that, isn't there?
Huh?
I mean, vibrations sent out by the voice.
Yes, that's right. I've often stood outside the mouth of a canyon and started snowslides with nearby shouting.
Snowslide must be quite a sight. Hundreds of tons of snow roaring and crashing down.
Well, you can breathe easily. We're out of danger. Oh, dear.
Lose something?
Yes, my camera. I think I left it back on the trunk of the tree we were sitting on. Oh, Gerald, would you mind getting it for me?
No, of course not, Blanche. You say it's on the trunk of the tree.
Yes, yes, that's right. Do you see it, Gerald?
No, Blanche, I don't.
Perhaps it fell in the snow. Look around.
I am looking, but I don't see any sign of it. Blanche, the snow!
Gerald, run this way! Too bad, Gerald. But that's what happens to people who stand between me and $1 million.
Oh, Blanche, it's so terrible. Gerald buried under all that snow. Perhaps we should have stayed in the canyon until they found the body.
Nonsense, Jane. There's nothing we could have done.
Dan and I will share Uncle John's estate now, but I'd gladly give up my share if it would bring Gerald back alive.
I know you would, dear. We crossed the river here, Jane.
But the ice looks so thin. Blanche, we didn't cross here on the way to the canyon, did we?
No, dear, this is a shortcut.
Oh, Blanche, it looks too dangerous.
It will support us. I'll tell you what, I will cross first.
Oh, Blanche, I wish you wouldn't. The ice is going to break any minute.
Nonsense. See, I'm already halfway across.
But I can see cracks in the ice under your feet.
So can I, but the ice is still strong enough to support me. See, I made it. Now it's your turn, Jane, dear.
Blanche, I'm frightened.
Darling, there's nothing to be afraid of. Now come along.
Well, all right.
Look, you'd better take your skis off. I think you will find it easier to walk across than to ski over the ice. You're not as good a skier as I am, you know.
Oh, very well, Blanche, if you say so.
Hurry, dear. It will soon be dark.
I've got them off now. Here I come.
That's it. I told you the ice would hold you.
Blanche, the ice feels as though it will give away under me any second.
It felt the same way when I crossed, but you can see I managed.
Blanche! Oh, the ice is breaking! Help! Blanche! I can't swim! Blanche! Blanche, please don't let me die!
Oh, poor Jane. She should have known better taking her skis off before crossing the ice. Well, now, that leaves only Dan.
Will Blanche succeed in getting rid of Dan? Will she get Uncle John's estate? Will Dr. Weird be back to tell us the rest of this chilling tale?
Yes, yes, I'll be back. And now, to continue my story, the voice of death. It is the day following the tragic deaths of Gerald and Jane in the living room of the luxurious lodge of the late John Drake. There are Blanche, Dan, and Sidney Rand, attorney for the estate. There is a strange look in Mr. Rand's eyes as he speaks to Blanche.
All I can say is it's very odd, Blanche. First you go skiing with Gerald, and he dies under a snowslide. And then a few hours later, while alone with you, Jane drowns crossing a river.
I don't like your attitude. You act as though I caused their deaths.
Blanche is right, Mr. Rand. You haven't any right to say that. The village coroner said their deaths were accidental.
I know what the village coroner said. It doesn't mean I have to agree.
Look now, it's 5 o'clock. If you don't start for the village station right now, you'll miss your train.
Then won't you change your mind and come with me?
No, I told you I'm staying up here for another week. I need the rest.
I just hope you don't find permanent rest up here.
What do you mean by that?
Just this. If anything were to happen to you, Blanche would be heir to everything. Think it over.
Oh, Dan, you don't believe I had anything to do with their deaths, do you?
Of course not, Blanche. It's absurd to think you were involved in any way.
4 days passed. Days in which steadily falling snow kept Dan and Blanche cooped up in the lodge. With each day that passed, Blanche seemed increasingly nervous and jumpy for no reason that was apparent to Dan. When the 5th day dawned bright and clear, Dan suggested a long ski run, and Blanche eagerly agreed. After skiing a few minutes, she called out.
Dan! Dan, we aren't going through the canyon, are we?
Why, of course we are.
Dan, let's go around it this time.
That's 3 miles further on. What's wrong with going through the canyon? Oh, is it because of that's where Gerald died?
Yes, I can't do it, Dan.
Look, I hope you're not brooding about Gerald's death. You must go on.
I'm not brooding, but Dan, have you heard a voice calling outside the house the past several nights?
A voice?
Yes. I woke up several nights thinking I heard Gerald's voice calling out in the storm.
Oh, Blanche, you heard the wind howling, that's all. Now come on, will ya? We have to get through the canyon. It's the only way to calm your nerves. Atta girl. Now only a couple of 100 more yards and we'll be out of the canyon.
Let's hurry, Dan. This is where it happened.
Come along, then, if you want to hurry.
Blanche!
It's Gerald. It's Gerald's voice.
Blanche, Blanche, this is where you killed me.
Oh, no, no!
Blanche, why have you stopped? Come on!
I'm dead, Blanche. You killed me.
I don't hear anything. I don't. It's just my imagination.
Blanche, come on!
I'll never leave you until you tell the truth.
Oh, no!
Confess! Confess!
Yes! Yes, I murdered you! I caused the snowslide! I shouted and caused it! I did it because the fortune was mine! Mine! And I was cheated out of it! Now be quiet! Don't talk anymore! Don't talk to me!
Blanche! Look out! Snow is sliding!
What? No! Help me! God, help me!
A moment later, as Dan stared stunned at the spot where Blanche had vanished under tons of snow, Mr. Rand the lawyer came skiing up to him from around an outcropping of rock.
Dan, you fool! You were so close to that snowslide, you almost killed yourself.
Mr. Rand, she's dead. She's buried under all that snow.
Yes, I know. Well, you heard her confess, didn't you?
Yes, but when I agreed to follow the instructions you left for me in the mailbox, I never dreamed it would end like this. I kept on telling myself she was innocent.
Yes, but she wasn't. I knew she couldn't be. That's why I made her think I was clearing out. Instead, I went down to the gamekeeper's cottage by the lake. That's where I've been the last few days.
Yes, I guessed that after I got your first note asking me not to show any surprise, no matter what happened. But Mr. Rand, the voice that Blanche heard in the night, and the voice just now, I could have sworn it was Gerald's voice.
I counted on that. I knew Gerald well, and vocal imitations are a sort of parlor trick of mine. My scheme was a wild one, Dan, but it was the only possibility of getting a confession from her. Those murders she committed were perfect.
2 perfect murders, and she was so beautiful.
Her own screams brought down the snowslide which killed her. And I don't think all the judges in the world could have found a more fitting punishment than the one her own conscience provided.
Too bad about poor Blanche, wasn't it? Looks like the man who said the female of the species is more deadly than the male knew what he was talking about. But wait. If you're an heir and you know someone who stands to gain by your death, I'd be very careful to stay away from. Oh, you have to go now. Perhaps you'll drop in on me again soon. Just look for the house on the other side of the cemetery, the house of Dr. Weird.